All right, our continued message is going to be the vision of God's throne, part two, and from Revelation chapter 4, beginning with verse 8, latter part, B, also to through verse 11 this morning. And also, if you want to kind of read in conjunction with this passage of Scripture, you can go to Ezekiel chapter 1, read verses 4-10. Through Revelation, Ezekiel was given the insight of the message of the revelation of the inspiration that John wrote about as well. So there's plenty reading in the Bible to give us a vision of God's throne and the things to come. So as we begin, let's look at the latter part of verse 8, which says, I'm sorry, I took that one off. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the mighty, who was and who is to come. Verse 9, and when the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sat on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever. In verse 10, and the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. So this morning, let's continue our look into the Scriptures. We're talking about the four beings there sitting on the throne, and the worshipers who are gathered around the throne, angels and the 24 elders and those there who are worshiping. And as we think about this, and as we prepare our own lives, as we experience trials and tribulations and hardships in this world, and as we worship God, this is preparing us, and it's God's victory and the glory of all of that to come. So John is giving us a beautiful picture of what is to come. And we should be really excited about this as we read and we study about what's taking place now in heaven, and as we're preparing our part, and as worshipers, and giving God the glory and the crowns and the rewards that we will put at the feet of Jesus. Last Sunday we talked about the four living creatures, and this morning we're going to be looking at the worship of a holy God here in the latter part of verse 8 and verse 10. So there's a continuous praise of worship going on in heaven, and they, as the latter part of verse 8 says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. Now, holiness is of first importance with God and in the worship of God. Holiness. God is holy. He is righteous. God is indescribable. So when we look at this in a world where evil, and we can look around and we can see the evil of this world, is rampant and goodness is mocked and weakening, there is one who will not give in to sin or allow his integrity to slip and to be degenerated. And that's our God. God is always and will be the Almighty God. And God is good and is separate from any and all forms of evil. He is pure and totally, completely undefiled. So, God's holiness. And when I think about God's power, it existed before the very beginning, because Revelation says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So, as the scripture says, he who was and is, the one who is to come. And when I looked at this and I saw this, these scriptures and began to try to absorb and see what it really means in the interpretations, the first words here spoken in heaven are praise. It's praise. And when, you know, we come this morning, we sing praises. So one of these days, we're going to be singing praises in heaven. And when we see this, the worship of God plays a very important part in heaven. A role of God wanted his followers to be aware of, and as they went to face, and what was to face was coming. So, in giving us this scene of worship, the church triumphed. And what we need, the church, is an attitude of worship in all that we face in this world. In all that we do, in all that we go through, we still offer up praise. And the Apostle Paul, and James too, you know, I give God glory, even through the joy. And Paul said, I find myself to be content in all things in this world. Whatever comes my way, he says, I find content because I find my content and my joy is in the Lord. So through the tribulations and the trials of this world, we still can praise God. Amen? We can still allow praise and worship flow from our hearts and mind. And it says we are to do with our heart, soul, and mind. Now, going back and looking at the four creatures here, the four beings also led the redeemed in worship of the Almighty. And let's go back to verse 9 again, because it's important that we understand the significance of why these 24 elders and the angels and all of those around the throne was offering their praise. And it says, and when the living creatures or beings give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever. That's why. Forever and ever. You know, there's no end. There's no beginning with God. And there's no ending. And there will be no ending in with us when we see God, when we experience that part of our lives in heaven. So, and these angels, it says that they give constant glory. They give constant honor and praise and thanksgiving to God. And when I was reading this, it's similar to what was taking place in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. It's the ministry of these living beings is a designate and proclaim the holiness and the eternity of God. And holy, holy, holy is our God Almighty. Now, no doubt, the praise of the living beings is associated by the representatives of God's redeemed people, as verse 10 indicates. And this verse 10 says, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne. See, Paul talks about that. One of these days, everybody will confess. Everyone will confess Jesus Christ. They will fall down on their knees. Even those who deny or reject Jesus Christ, one of these days will recognize that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as indicated right here in verse 10. So no doubt as to who is a sovereign, the one in heaven. In authentic worship, they bowed. Literally, they fell on their face, prostrate before him who sits on the throne of eternity. So the elders will and future for us also join in the greatest act of worship given to our Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. And they lay down their crowns before their throne in ascribing all glory to him as sovereign God, as holy. You see, that is a word that is described all the way from the Old Testament through the New Testament about the holiness of God, about the righteousness of God. And the crowns represent their striving and persevering in serving the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. Now, when we think about the crowns and rewards and so forth, as John is describing here, what untold blessing it will be to take the crown that we have won, persevering in Christ, in this earth, on this earth, in this world. You know, we're in this world, but we're not of the world. So, and cast it at Jesus' feet. This concluding and this act of our life here on this earth is offered in his service, and not ours, his service. For Jesus said himself, "I came to serve, not to be served." You know, we were created to serve. First of all, our Lord Jesus Christ, and then we are to serve one another. So, you know, I pray, too, that you and I, will have at least one crown to cast at Jesus' feet in worship. You know, 3 weeks ago, I shared about those five crowns. And there's not only those five crowns, but there's many, many rewards that you and I can receive here on this earth as we serve the Lord God, that we put him first in our life. And it's not all of those things that's always recognizable that we think, oh, I'll get a crown for this, or I'll get a reward for that. No, it's those things that are sometimes unseen, that God sees them and recognizes them, that we're not trying to take credit for, say, oh, look at me, look what I've done for the Lord or for others. It's not that. For those who look at it that way, you just received your reward. But those who do it in the spirit of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's untold rewards and blessings that God will recognize, and you will be recognized one of these days for it. It could be those prayer warriors who always praying. You never see them, but they're in their closet. They're in their devotional time. They're praying continually for God's guidance, and they're praying for you. They're praying for me. They're praying for the world. They're praying that God help them persevere in this world of affliction. Those people, one of these days, will receive the ultimate reward. Now, the casting of our crowns indicates the fact that he alone is sovereign and worthy. All others must yield to him and his reign. Okay, now let's look at the worthy to receive. In verse 11 here, we see that the song of praise. This is a song of praise of all who are in heaven who repeated for the listening heart. They continually confess and praise the Lord God Almighty. And verse 11 says, I'm going to read that again because it's worthy to be read again. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, For you created all things, and because of you, your will, they existed and were created. Now, the point of chapter 4 is summed up right here in this verse. All creatures in heaven, glory. They give glory, they give power, and they give praise to God because He is the creator and sustainer of everything. I like to read from different translations. I read New American Standard, KJV, King James Version, the New KJV, the New Living Translation, many different translations just to get the gist of what each verse is saying. And I love how the King James Version says this, verse 11, and this is in the KJV. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So the poetic flow of this is beautiful, as KJV puts it. And when we think of worship, and really the definition or the meaning of worship, I tried to get my hands wrapped around this as we come together in worship on Sunday morning. Sometimes it doesn't enter our mind as we're singing and as we're praising God and as we're praying what worship really is and what it really means. So as I was thinking about a good definition for it, this is what I feel worship is. Well, it's a quickening of conscience by the holiness of God, a feeding of the mind with the truth of God, and opening the heart to the love of God, and a devoting of the will to the purpose of God. So it's heart, soul, and mind. Again, the quickening of the conscience of God's holiness, feeding our mind with the truth of God, and opening our heart to the love of God, and devoting our will, our total will, our submissive will to God. And that is the purpose of our praise and worship to God. When I think about the worship, you know, it's non-ending. When we get up in the day, in the mornings and so forth, and as we pray, we're worshiping God. When we do our devotion, we're worshiping God. We're recognizing His holiness and His righteousness. So when we look at what the Scriptures are saying here, it is telling us all creation, everything that God created, owes its existence to the Lord God. You know, you think about all the species in the world. God implanted in their little minds the instinct, the how to survive, how to bring joy to God's creation by the birds who sing. You know, they do it because I think they're praising God for the creation, because God has given them that ability to sing and do things that you know, sometimes we just take for granted. But they bring joy and new life to each one of us because they're God's creations and everything. And that's why I say all creation owes its existence to the Lord God. He created us so that we might know Him, and knowing Him might honor and praise Him with our whole existence. Now, yet, few acknowledge it by lifting praise to their Creator. Many in this world who do not acknowledge Christ as the Creator, or God as the Creator. So the world today neglects or refuses to worship God in spirit and in truth. And again, pointing out John 4:24, when we worship God, we worship Him in truth and spirit. Now, no matter how godless this world may seem, I want you to think about that this morning. No matter how godless the world may be or seem, God has a plan, and He's working His plan out for His purpose. You know, you think about this whole world and the godlessness that's in this world. Still, God has a plan, and He's working His purpose out in His time. And our responsibility as Christians is just to pray that God's will be done. See, He made things, and He made us for His purpose, for His pleasure, for His will. And that's why so many places in the Bible it says that God gives gifts. He gives things at His will, at His pleasure. And when we're ready to receive the ultimate blessings of this world, which we receive, and when at the right time and where we are in our relationship with Him, then it will be revealed to us. God will not withhold anything that we desire, and we pray for His divine will to be done in our lives. So, now, evil is real. We see it each day. We hear about it each day. It's deceptive and it's powerful, but divine purposes and God's will still stand. Because as we go back to verse 1, in chapter 4, it says that God's word was what? Settled in heaven. His purpose was settled. His will was settled in heaven. So as we close this morning, all true believers credit their redemption, their presence, their privileges, their hopes to the eternal and most holy God. I credit my redemption and my presence and my privilege and my future hope to God Almighty, because He is the one who provides. So what hope fills our hearts that we too can cast our crowns and worship before our living God? You know, so this morning, my challenge to you and even to myself, may we focus on the things of this life, not cost the opportunity of eternity, but which will be cast at the feet of Jesus, which will be the blessings of all blessings. And then simply come before His throne. We come and humble ourselves before His throne and say, as Jesus said on the cross, not my will, but Your will be done. Each day as I pray for different things in my life and in the world and the things that are going on, you know, it always comes to my mind as I pray for Ukraine and the things that are happening there. We had to pray, Lord, Your will be done, not mine. And that's what it has to be, because we don't understand the motives and everything of the evil rulers of this world. But when we think about the things that are taking place in heaven right now and our future glory and place there, then what we do here will enhance our perseverance and our hope and our trust in Him even more. Amen? That's the way I have to look. That's the way I see it. That's how it is. The scriptures reveal it to me. And when we pray that way, God, your will be done. And God will see that you win your crown, that you and I will receive our crown. So many distractions this morning. Are yeah, something going on. But if see anything that happens, you know, I just you just keep focused. Keep focused. It's God's will that we keep focused no matter what. Because he's on the throne. He's high and lifted up. And we give him the praise for it. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, this morning. That you are on the throne. And your scriptures gives us clear view and the pictures of what's taking place this very moment as we are here in this setting. We can only imagine, with the limitations that we have of knowing everything other than what we read and we study from the Word, Lord, we just know it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. It's far beyond our comprehension. But you give us enough here in your word. And you revealed it to John. And he was inspired to write what he saw through the revelation that you gave him. And Lord, we're inspired as well to live out our life accordingly. Because we know we worship a holy God, a righteous God. And this morning, Lord, as we come here through the busy week that we've had, maybe many, many praises and some maybe disappointments and a few setbacks. But Lord, still, you allowed us to be here this morning. And we can praise you for that. That is a praise. And Lord, we can look forward into the future. Not knowing everything that's going to be taking place, but Lord, putting our trust and our hope in you outweighs any circumstances that we might be confronted with. And Lord, we thank you for the salvation that you give us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning, anyone here that doesn't know you personally, anyone listening, maybe for the first time they've tuned in to listen to our service. Lord, I pray that it has been a blessing, that it has been a message that the Holy Spirit has been able to reveal things in their life and in our own lives that we need to do. Things that we need to change in our lives. That we might reflect also your holiness and your righteousness. Lord, this invitation is yours, and we want to treat it as holy and sovereignty as possible. It's our responsibility to respond to leading of your Holy Spirit. Lord, as I pray right now, each one of us search our hearts. Examine our hearts, Lord. May we be willing to yield to you. Surrender to you our total obedience. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is Just As I Am. We all know this hymn. It's very familiar to all. Let's stand as we sing our final song, our invitation. Just as I am.